We turn in the scriptures for our text this evening in Psalm 10. Psalm 10, we continue our study in this 10th Psalm. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches. He lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. That the man of the earth may oppress no more. The title of the message this evening is this. What does your mouth speak? What does your mouth speak? I can't remember what the song is, but I think that in a song there is a line, those who should speak little say so much. Can't remember what the line is. It's something like that. But that is so. That is so in this world. So often people speak much when they should keep it zipped at times. There is indeed a time to be quiet. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to refrain from speaking. And most definitely, when we speak, we should be careful what it is that we say. We live in a crazy age where people think that because they tap an app, because they sit there typing away on a keyboard with their limited amount of letters that they can use on Twitter and such like, that they can say what they like, as if they've not spoken. Well, whatever way we communicate, the principle remains the same. The state of everyone by nature is that we have what James calls a raging fire in our mouth, the tongue. It sets a forest on fire. That's how dangerous the tongue is. And as the psalmist speaks of the wicked, speaks of the sinner, the unrepentant sinner, he says here in verse 7 here of Psalm 10, his mouth is full. He says that the mouth of every sinner, every unrepentant sinner, is full of something. It's full to bursting. His mouth is full. His mouth is full. Firstly, we see his mouth is full of cursing. That's the first thing we see. There is much found in the mouth of the sinner, much found in the mouth of the wicked. The sinner has a mouth which is full of cursing. Cursing man, speaking evil upon their fellow man. But as I would draw your attention, especially this evening, the name of God. The name of God is not honoured on their lips. Rather, because their mouth is full of cursing, rather, blasphemy against the Lord himself comes forth in one way or another. I shouldn't have to say to you, these things should never be so for a child of God. Why do you think that we have such a command given to Moses in the Ten Commandments? Such a command. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. Now we know, as Paul tells us, as he brings together the reason why the law was given. Paul tells us in Romans 3, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why that command was given. That's why all the commands were given. But the law is the knowledge of sin. You look and find me any judge, find me any barrister who does not have the books of the law on his shelves in his study. That's how you determine. You determine when justice is done correctly, that's how you determine the guilt of someone, by the law. And clearly, by the giving of the law, man by nature is found guilty of such things. for such blasphemous cursing comes out of the mouth of sinners like a waterfall. Like a waterfall. And it doesn't come out just of adults. From as young as they can speak. And if you don't think that's the case, you've been living on another planet. Or you've just been so blessed to have never come across family and friends, kids who speak blasphemies. It just comes out. It just comes forth from their lips. From the mouths of sinners. Without any teaching, by the way. Without any teaching. Just as with all sin. No one needs to be taught to do it. No one needs to be taught to do it. I've not met a single parent, responsible one, who sat their child down and started teaching them, well, I need to instruct you in what is the wrong way. And so then, we again read in Romans 3 verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God says in his word here, the wicked in his mouth is full of this cursing. It's full of this profanity towards God. And remember, this blasphemy, this cursing, this profanity towards God can take many forms as well. It can be to claim that God has told them to do such and such, and in the name of God they perform all manner of wickedness. That is profanity to the name of God. Do you remember there was a few years ago, I don't know if they still exist, this group in a civil war in Uganda, and they called themselves the Lord's Resistance Army. What wickedness. What blasphemy. And they went around doing all manner of wickedness upon their enemies, upon enemy villages, raping and pillaging and macheting people and all manner of terrible things. They called themselves the Lord's Resistance Army. They called themselves Christian. There are many ways that God's name is blasphemed. His name is blasphemed in all forms of false religion. Those who claim to worship God, who do nothing of the sort, they are worshipping idols. And therefore, as the psalmist writes here, before God's righteous divine justice, all sinners, without exception, are pronounced guilty as charged as we particularly speak of this sin of cursing and blasphemy. Now, secondly, the second thing we see here, what is the mouth of the wicked? What is the mouth of the sinner full of? The mouth of the sinner is full of cursing. And we see secondly, the mouth of every soul born in this world is full of dishonesty. It's
full of dishonesty.
These are unpalatable things for so many. Very few churches you'll hear such things. But this is the truth. This is the truth that anyone who's born of God knows was their state. The mouth is full of dishonesty. His mouth is full of deceit, says the psalmist here. Full of deceit. It's an ugly word. You can't flower it up. Whenever you hear the word deceit or deceitful, it always sounds ugly. Doesn't it? Just one of those words. You just don't want to be told you're deceitful. And the unregenerate sinner is by nature a liar. A liar. Deceitful and cunning. You see, from the very moment sin entered into the world, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Man sought to hide his shame rather than repenting of his sin. Man, do not miss this. When the man and his wife, when Adam and his wife, before she was named, when they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed, when they sewed fig leaves together in a forlorn attempt to hide their nakedness, this was not some act of making themselves righteous. This was to cover up. This is the cover up. This is to, no matter how futile it was an attempt to cover up. And as we see in Genesis 3 verses 7 and 8, they sought to cover up. And we know that this is so because when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid from his presence. A man has been hiding from God ever since, denying in deceit that they're a sinner. This is what's wrong in the world. This is the exact state of everyone from birth. Psalm 58:3, the wicked sinners, and do not forget, we must drive home, the wicked is speaking of sinners. One and the same. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They're estranged from God. They're estranged from God. Don't know God. They're estranged from the womb. They're going their own way, you see. They go astray. Isn't that the state of every child of God? We were. That's what Isaiah says. All we were like sheep. That's the only difference. The child of God is one who's loved from eternity. They've fallen in Adam in time, but they're loved from eternity, and so they are one of the lost sheep of God. But they were still, and we were all still, as sheep going astray. Willingly. Of our own will. Of our own purpose. Delighting in it. We were like sheep going astray, turned aside everyone to his own way. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You don't need to put words into the mouth of Scripture. In fact, much of Scripture is so clear, it needs little expounding. If someone has the Spirit of Christ. Because much of Scripture is that clear. That clear. Couldn't be any clearer. Don't need to say any more. We're all born sinners. See also Psalm 59 verse 4. It speaks of the state of everyone in this life. Everyone outside of Christ. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Nobody likes to be called a liar. Nobody likes to be called deceitful. But until we come to that point of seeing ourselves so, we will never recognize the truth. It is only natural for all the seed of Adam who are, as the Lord Jesus called even the religious folk who rejected him, called the unbelieving, rebellious, who claimed to know God, you are children of your father, the devil. It just gets worse. The accusation, the judgment, the condemnation, the guilt. Not only liars, but children of your father the devil. Children of him who is, as he said, the father of them. The father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning and a father of them. You who trust Christ. You who trust Christ now were once a liar. You were once a liar. I was once a liar. Deceitful. Fiona, you were once a liar. I pick on you because it comes to my mind. As a little child, not even two, maybe, can't remember. Oh, but we're all Christians. You, me, and mummy, you, me, and daddy, or whichever way around, we're all Christians, aren't we? What do you say? What do you say to someone so young as that? Do you just chuckle away to them, as so many do? Or do you sit them down with the Word of God and explain to them, no, you're not. You're lying. I didn't say those words then, but she was lying to herself. Lying, lying. And so many people in so many ways, they are liars. Because they don't know the truth. You lie when you don't know the truth. That was our state, each one of us, a liar, following the leading of your own heart, which is deceitful above all things. That's what God's word says. One of the biggest lies there is to deny your sin. It's to deny that you're a sinner. It's one of the biggest lies there is. As the Apostle John declares in his epistle, not only that, but it is to speak great cursing against God Almighty himself, who says that it is so, that you are a sinner. For someone to say they are not a sinner, that they have no sin, it is to make a grave accusation about God. 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar. We say to God, you're a liar. Who would say such a thing? No, not many people would say such a thing in those words. But that's what they're saying. And his word is not in us. Couldn't be clearer. And so you see, the child of God is one who does not lie now. They constantly say, my sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. My iniquity is ever before me. They, like Paul, constantly are troubled, as in Romans 7. I do not do the good that I will to do, but the evil that I will not do. But not so with the one outside of Christ. They continue to lie. They continue to lie. For we see then the great blasphemy of sin denial. Great blasphemy of sin denial. And it is therefore a great deceit for anyone claiming to be preaching the gospel in any way to deny the biblical truth of original sin and depravity. They are liars and blasphemers. Plain and simple. Because they are saying that the God that they proclaim is a liar. Have you ever thought about that? To not accept fully and completely the doctrine, the biblical gospel doctrine of original sin, of total depravity. To deny it is to deny God himself. To teach in any way that a single one born of a woman is sinless is calling the Almighty a liar. I'm willing to be challenged on that. I'm willing to be shown my error on that. But I'm far more confident that I stand on solid ground here on this word. It's the foundation of the gospel. It's the foundation of the gospel. And so when we read here, his mouth is full of cursing and full of deceit, this speaks of false teachers as well. Not just the worldly, but those who are in the church preaching a false gospel. A false gospel of works. A false gospel that man has it in him to please God, to perform righteousness. They're liars. And these liars have been in the church from the inception of the church. They came out from among us because they were not of us, says the Apostle John. Thirdly, the mouth of the wicked, the sinner, is full of oppression. Full of oppression. Now the words of the sinful man are often words which tear down. That's what we do so often in our fleshly sinful self. Anything led of the Spirit, anything led of God that we say, none of it, none of it, none of it injures anyone. But we have this almost untamable thing called the tongue that constantly wars and tears down. And especially amongst those who are outside of Christ, who do not look to keep a check upon it. It tears down rather than to build up. And as I hinted earlier on, is that not the world in which we live in now? Trollers and all kinds of things. People take pleasure in destroying other people. Destroying other people's lives. And surely it is because there is no thought of God in their thoughts. God is in none of their thoughts, and they say, he hides his face. He will not see. But he does. And God will hold everyone to account for such wicked things they say to others that have destroyed others. They do harm to others. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Oppresses others. How many times have we been in situations where we just wish, oh, I could bring those words back into my mouth. I could take them back. Words that we know too late have done harm and injury and hurt. As we've not meant it, but we spoke too soon, too quickly, without thought. I remember vividly, with shame, how in my younger years, you think I talk a lot now, but in my younger years, not knowing the Saviour, even as a child, hearing my dad reprimand me, saying simply this, it just came to me yesterday. He just used to say, your mouth. That's all he said, your mouth. But those words, they cut through. The reprimand of those words. And we were taught to say as kids also, weren't we? We were taught to say, I think it was at school we heard it first. We were taught to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Little did we know at the time that saying couldn't be any further from the truth. Words can never hurt. Words can cut more than the sharpest of knives at times. Words are hurtful, very hurtful indeed. We read the warning given even to believers in James 3. It's very practical of books. James 3, and we read from verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large, and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both still water, salt water, and fresh. Yes, indeed, a somber warning. To be careful before we speak. The child of God, unlike the unrepentant sinner, though, can use his mouth spiritually, can move his tongue to build up rather than to tear down. Fourthly, having seen what comes out of the mouths of sinners in the open by the words spoken, the psalmist points us to what is perhaps the greatest deceit. What is the greatest deceit? For the tongue of the sinner is a double tongue. Hidden words and intents there are not uttered, held back in deceit. He says here, under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Yes, he speaks all these things that the mouth is full of, and then there's that which is hidden under the tongue. And many there are, both in the world in general and in the professed church of Jesus Christ, who speak with a double tongue. Sure, they speak great swelling words, but underneath is lying and deceit, and that which is not after the way of God's truth. It's iniquity. Having not been sent from God, you see, under their lips is vanity, unrighteousness, it means. And such were around in the days of the apostles, who warned the believers of these fraudsters called apostates. who fell away. They spoke much, but under their tongue was that which what they were full of. Under their tongue was the iniquity. Under their tongue was that which they was their true motives. And they're around today, many apostates who fall away from the true faith because they never were part of it. They're called clouds without water. Just think of that. We don't have a comprehension of that. We have the odd drought here and the odd drought there. But we complain about lots of water, lots of rain. But imagine being in such a climate where you wait for the clouds. You wait for the clouds to come in their season. The rainy season. And there's clouds. And there's no water in them. Clouds without water. An apt description of those who are false teachers. Clouds without anything good in them. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, says Jude 1:12. And such false teachers as speak deceitfully, hiding their real intention, and all who falsely claim to love God. All individuals who falsely claim to love God. And all who are outside of Christ are referred to in the Word of God in Romans 3 once again and in verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulchre. It's lifeless. It's lifeless. That which is under their tongue is deadness and iniquity. An open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. And there are many who lie in wait to proclaim a message which is leading so many astray. And even today, there are those who proclaim such false messages, leading others astray. And the message they proclaim, the words they proclaim, are as the poison of an asp, as the poison of a poisonous snake. And so as we close, as we close and think and examine ourselves and think upon the nature of the mouth of everyone in this world, as we think upon the nature of our mouth, if not checked by the Spirit of God. As we close, as believers, let us keep a check on ourselves and continue to examine ourselves, how we measure up as to what we speak. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Just a quick illustration. Anyone who knew me before I knew the call of God's grace, anyone who knew me, knew that if anyone riled me up, if anyone angered me, I had very little control over the profanities that came out of my mouth. the swearing. And those who I worked with, the lads that I worked with, they knew this all too well. They knew it all too well. But they knew that a change had come upon me. They knew that my life was different now. When they heard the testimony of my being called of God and becoming a true child of God in Christ Jesus. But they knew the buttons to press. And they would push and push and push and push and push. And one day, I still cannot explain this. One day, they pushed and they pushed and they pushed and they pushed to breaking points. Things that they were saying, the nasty things that they were saying about God and about Christ and about all manner of things. And I had to withdraw to the room next door. I had to withdraw to the filing room next door. And I cannot explain it fully, but I could literally feel physically the profanities in my throat. I can't explain it to you. But they would not come out. I praise God that they didn't come out. Let no corrupt communication proceed out. Proceed out of your mouth. That's not to say that you're not tempted to say those things. But that which is good to the use of edifying, of building up, strengthening, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. May the words of each child of God be truly those which build up and not tear down. May the words of each child of God be words which comfort and not condemn. And may it be said that the words of God's people, that those words he is pleased with. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.